Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. Just so honored that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us. And so I hope, as always, you have your cup of Joe and you're ready to go. For the record, mine's a prop today. We're shooting here at the church offices and there's no power. So I have no idea how this is going to go today. So we're battery operated, but God is good. All right. So listen, we're continuing our talk on what love is. And I promise you that this morning, God has a word for you that is going to enable you to both build up others and to set your very soul free. All right. So that's my promise for you today. And listen, as always, I want to remind you that if you need prayer or ministry at all, you can just email us at info@everynationnj.org. Any of your prayer requests, or if you have any counseling requests, anything of that nature, please don't hesitate to reach out. As well, as always, immediately following our Facebook live feed, you can pray with a virtual prayer counselor. We'll have a live individual there to pray over our Facebook live feed with you. And so there's that. And then as we do every single week, I'd like to invite you to join me at virtual hospitality immediately following our broadcast here this morning. That as soon as our service is over, on your screen will come a virtual Zoom conference call number. And if you'd like to speak with me immediately following the service, I'm going to be on that Zoom conference call. We can talk about the message or whatever might be on your heart, or if you just want to pray. But I would love to meet you. And so as we're moving along here this morning, it is that time. It is that time to take up the tithe and the offering. And I'd like to read for you a section of scripture found in the book of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse 23. And it says this, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. He says this, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin." So here's what you need to hear, is they were actually so religious and wanted to honor God that they tithed from their spice rack, dill, cumin, all these different things. They took a tenth in order to honor God with it. But then it goes on and says, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. In other words, they weren't loving people. They were honoring God, but not loving people. He says this, Jesus says this, you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So in other words, Jesus's big idea is you need to do both. The problem was that the religious folks, that they were honoring God with their finances, the tenth of everything that came in, but they were not loving to people. And how crazy is it that it feels like 2,000 years later, we've actually reversed those, where we have all this compassion for people and let's help people and do things, but yet we tend to neglect God and dishonor Him in the tithe and the offering. And so we are not going to do that here at Every Nation New Jersey. We are going to be a people that honor God in the tithe and the offering, as well as be a lover of people. And so, as always, if you're giving your tithe, you can give three ways. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just click on the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. You actually do that through texting. My family and I, we give this way. You just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, a very convenient way to give. And then lastly, as always, if you're giving a check or a money order, you can mail in your tithe, offering, or gift to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And as always, God bless you and care for you as you give unto God. And so, so listen, normally we start off with a story, but I need to get right into the Word of God. We spent the last several weeks breaking down the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, the love chapter. And I want to focus our attention this morning on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 5. And so that's going to be our emphasis today. Let me read. I'm going to change it up a little bit today, and we are going to read from the NIV version, the New International Version. And it reads like this. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And so, Lord, I just pray you give us such grace as we break down the Word of God this morning. May it be helpful. May it set people free, Lord, and breathe life into others. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's where we go, gang. Our first thing I'd like to highlight is, notice that Paul says this, that what love does not do. Love does not dishonor others. And so if I can just break that down, like love, in other words, it does honor people. Love honors people. And so this idea of honor, it means to esteem, to value, to see as precious or uncommon. I can explain it to you this day, like funny story. It was like, I can't remember which version of the iPhone it was. But a few years ago, someone was so excited. They had their iPhone 9. They slept overnight at the Apple store in order to get it, and they got it, and they were just showing it off to everybody. And I remember it was just the sweetest little girl, but I was like, "Oh, you got the new iPhone. Can I see it?" And I went to touch it, and she flinched. And she was like, "No, you know," and she's like, "You have to be careful with it, and you caress it." And I was like, "Hey, Gollum, you know, like the precious." Like, but here's what I realized right away is that she valued that phone, or in other words, she honored it. She didn't treat it as something common, but it was something uncommon. And that's what we're to do. We are to honor, see people as precious, valuable, because the reality is they are. Let me read from you Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says this, and this is actually the marks of a true Christian. Paul's going to say, this should mark your life if you're truly a Jesus person. He says this in verse 10, love one another with a brotherly affection. By the way, that word for love is the word phileo. It's where we get the word Philadelphia. It means brotherly love. And listen, I lived in Philadelphia for a while, and how it got the name Philadelphia, a place of brotherly love, is beyond me. But that's neither here nor there this morning, all right? But he goes on and says this, that we are to outdo one another in showing honor. I love that one, Paul. Outdo one another in honor. It sounds like a competition or a game. And here's, I want to challenge you. I will out-honor you today. Like, it sounds like a game, right? The first 1 to 10 wins. And honestly, it should be a challenge, a game that each and every day we say this, I am going to out honor people with my life. And so, listen, there is, getting in my notes here, it says this. So listen, if you don't understand that people are valuable, that they're precious in the sight of God, then you just don't understand Christianity. You don't understand our faith, because people are valuable. As I was researching this week, and when I say research, I was Googling things. I came across the story of Stan Caffrey. And Stan Caffrey was like most men, had a garage filled with junk. He got married, and hence now a lot of that junk had to go. And so Stan reluctantly, he started just getting rid of all the garbage in his garage, and he pulled everything up in his truck, and one of which was a replica of the Declaration of Independence. It was just hanging over his workbench, and he took it all with a number of other things. He just tagged it all and sent it off to the local thrift store. And so sitting in that thrift store was this replica of the Declaration of Independence, and it was tagged at $2.48, to which, I don't know how long it was after that, but another gentleman entered that same thrift store. He saw the replica Declaration of Independence listed it for $2.48, purchased that, and then proceeded to go on and sell that replica of the Declaration of Independence at an auction, forget this, $477,000. $477,000. See, Michael Sparks knew the value of that rare replica of the Declaration of Independence. And friends, I hope that you and I, we recognize the value of people. See, because people, humanity, whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, Hispanic, whether you're young, old, the unborn, the disabled, humanity has been created in the image of God. And we are, there is no value, limitless in value, because of that reason, our people. Do you know what it actually says in Acts chapter 10 that Peter gets a vision from the Lord, and he gets a word from God saying this, is there that he's to call nothing that God created, humanity, he's not to call any man common. Why? Because we are to treat one another with honor and esteem and value because we've been created in the image of God. And listen, when people treat you with honor, I mean, don't you just know it, sense it, and feel it? Like, I don't know if you've ever been around that individual. Like, when you're around them, I mean, they just make you feel like you hung the moon, like you are the most important person on the planet. They make you feel like you're the Dos Equis guy. You remember that guy? The most interesting man in the world. Stay thirsty, my friends, right? Like when you're around that person, you feel loved. You feel special. You feel unique. And listen, the way that person makes you feel, that's the way you should make other people feel. Be that person. Why? Because love, it honors people. I'm reminded of the quote by the great poet Maya Angelou. She says this, that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. See, because love honors people. Here's the second idea that we see in our 1 Corinthians 13 is that love is not self-seeking. It doesn't seek its own. And so let me read for you Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus says this, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served, though he could have. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet he came to serve people. So little illustration here, because sometimes serving people, being other-oriented, can feel unnerving. Like my family and I, we used to travel with some friends to, we'd vacation in St. Croix. And we would go there. I'm not sure if you've been there. It's a beautiful place. I'm all for starting Every Nation St. Croix, okay? I would like to pastor there. Anyways, in St. Croix, they drive on the opposite side of the road. And so I remember the first couple of times going there, like even just being a passenger, I'm like, you know, I got the handbrakes going and I'm afraid we're going to die at any turn. But then as you grow comfortable there throughout the week, then it starts to feel normal common. You get used to it. And see, you know what I realized is I was from another country, and it took me a while to get used to that. You know, the scripture says you're from another country, that if you know Jesus Christ, you're actually from another kingdom. And here's what I want you to know, is that the kingdom of God, we drive on the opposite side of the road. Like, in the kingdom of God, we honor people first. And listen, when you do that, when you serve people, when you give your life away, it can be unnerving. It can be scary because you're like, what about me? What's going to happen to me? And see, but isn't that our old country? Like the Bible says the kingdom of this world, it's about the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. But now through Christ, we've been translated what? Into the kingdom of God. And now in the kingdom of God, what do? You want to find life? Then you give your life away. You want to receive, then freely give away. You want to reap, then you surely must sow. And so it is the way of the kingdom of God, and it is the way of love, because love doesn't seek its own. So I was reading in this book called The Culture Code. Excellent read. It's by a guy by the name of Daniel Coyle. And in one of the chapters, he tells the story of a man who actually, he invented an algorithm to estimate who is the greatest coach in the NBA. Remember when we used to have sports and stuff? The National Basketball Association. And all the algorithms figured this out, that the greatest coach in the NBA is a guy by the name of Greg Popovich. He's coached Team USA on several occasions, currently coaches the San Antonio Spurs, and has had unbelievable success with a seeming hodgepodge group of individuals. LeBron James, the king himself, would say this, that Popovich's teams, they play selflessly, that they seem to want be about the other individual. In fact, as he goes by the name Pop, that Coach Pop, the assistant coaches, they want to make one thing clear when they were interviewed. They says Pop is much more than X's and O's. That he says that Popovich is going to give his players two things consistently. Let me give you what those two things are. Number one, he's going to always tell them the truth. And number two, he's going to love that person to death. I feel like I've heard that before. When Jesus says we're to speak the truth in love, right? And so how great is that? The assistant coaches for Popovich would go on to say this, that Popovich is continually analyzing his players to see how he can fill their cup up, so to speak. And I just love that phrase, how he's looking to see whose cup can I fill. What an amazing way to live life. Like, could you imagine if we approach each day and go, man, whose cup is empty so that I can go and fill that thing up with whatever is lacking, whatever they need. I heard just an unbelievably moving story of a woman by the name of Marianne Bird. She's an author and would later become an educator. But Marianne Bird, she actually was born with a series of birth defects. She had a cleft palate. She was deaf in one ear. She had a somewhat deformed face with an odd-shaped nose and eyes. She actually had two deformed feet. And so you can imagine as a little girl the scrutiny and just the cruelty that the other little kids did because she was so awkward-looking. And so she always dreaded as a little girl in elementary school the day that they would do, it was known as the whisper test. It was to check children's hearing, and what the teacher would do is she would whisper in the ear of the student to make sure that they could hear from both ears. Well, Marianne knew that she couldn't hear out of one ear, and as Miss Leonard, her favorite teacher, was going to whisper in her deaf ear, Marianne was going to try and fake it and see with her good ear if she could hear what the teacher was saying. And Miss Leonard on to her, see, because Marianne didn't want the other kids to know that she couldn't hear out of one ear. And what does Miss Leonard do? She reaches down and she whispers in Marianne's ear and she says this, "I wish you were my little girl." Is that unbelievably amazing? And Marianne, she says, that day was a game changer for her. That the emptiness inside of her was filled up when Miss Leonard says, "Oh, I wish you were my little girl." And in the same way, how amazing is it, would it be that we as Christ followers, full of the Spirit of God, could look around at people and see areas, words of life that we could speak into other individuals to fill up their cup. Why? Because love doesn't seek its own. It seeks to help others, right? And then number three is this in 1 Corinthians 13. It says this, that love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. Can I say it just another way? Love is quick to forgive. Love is just quick to forgive. Let me read for you Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. In Colossians 3, it says this. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones." So get this. Paul's saying you need to put something on. You need to wear something if you're a chosen one of God. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, and humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, once again, he says to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so we see this. We need to be like, love compels us to be quick to forgive. Why? Because Christ was quick to have forgiven us. So about once a year, as the Every Nation New Jersey, our staff team will get together with our New York church, and we'll actually travel down to Raleigh, North Carolina, to Kings Park International Church. It's a sister church of ours, and we'll go down there for what we affectionately call as boot camp. It's a staff retreat where we try to just to build into one each other and just hone our skills and minister to each other. And so that's kind of what it is. And think of it as team building. Now, it's funny, having played years in the National Hockey League, you know, every year we do some kind of goofy team building thing. We've done the trust fall, you know how that goes, and there's always some goofy dude that lets you fall on the ground, right? Or we've done like rope climbs and just all kinds of stuff to try and build like the team building process. Listen, I think it's all a bunch of bull. Sorry. But I do know that if you care about people, that if you care for your teammates, then you got something to work with. But when we went down, I did not have a say in this. We were going to do a team building exercise. And so apparently someone thought it was a good idea that we could go to an escape room. Have you heard of these things? It's where you leave your cell phone, your wallet, your keys, all your valuable belongings. You give them to some stranger you don't know of. He locks them up, we hope. And then you go get locked into a series of rooms and have to figure out as a team all these clues to try to escape each room. I just think that's a dumb plan. So let me get this straight. You want me to take 2 hours of my life, give a stranger all my valuables, and then go get locked in a room with somebody for 2 hours and just try to figure out how to get out? Listen, I can't get those 2 hours back. I can think of better ways to spend those 2 hours. And in fact, I did. I said, you guys go do that. I'm not doing that. And I just proceeded to go to found a very nice hotel about a block or two down the road. I ordered a glass of Cabernet in the lobby, opened up my Bible, and I just read the scriptures for a couple hours. You can judge me if you want, but I felt like I chose the wise thing. See, why would I lock myself in a room, right, for 2 hours that I can never get back? And listen, I'm going to ask you the question. Why would you lock yourself up in chains of unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness in your life? Because you know, that's what you do. Like when you refuse to forgive people, it's not the people that suffer, you suffer. Like you begin to chain yourself. Do you know, like the word resentment, it means again, and sentiment, to feel. Resentment. It means to feel it again. And so some of us, we just like to replay just that moment when that person wronged us, and it just bubbles up and it becomes this fire. And who's aggravated? Not the other individual that's harmed you. You're aggravated. And so I read the story this past week of a woman named Jill Price. She has a rare disease. It's called a hyperthymistic syndrome. Hyperthymistic syndrome. And here's what it is, that Jill Price, she remembers everything, every second of every day she remembers. And so you would think that sounds like a superpower or something amazing, and she would say it's something much different. She says it's torture, it's trauma, because she vividly remembers and feels everything that's happened in her life, every trauma, every emotion, every setback, every pain, every sorrow. It's like on this vicious playback loop that's vivid, and she can feel it and sense everything, and she says it's torture. And so I'd ask you the question this morning, why on earth would you do that to yourself? Replay that thing over and over and not let it go, release it to God. Instead, you just decide to torture yourself. I love, there's a man by the name of Lewis Smedes, and he wrote a powerful book called The Art of Forgiveness. And in that Smeeds, he says this. He says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was actually you. That when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is you. And so I'm all about, let's set ourselves free this morning by being a loving people that are quick to forgive. You know, Jesus says this in the scriptures. He says there's two unforgivable sins. Number one is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And number two is the sin of unforgiveness. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, that if you don't forgive your brother, that your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And so I don't want to just soft pedal this, because listen, I know there's been some serious harm and hurt out there, and that forgiveness can be unbelievably difficult. I love the quote of C.S. Lewis. He's actually going to say this, that everyone says forgiveness is lovely. It's a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Then all of a sudden, it's not such a lovely idea. But I want to take and steal a little bit from Lewis Smead's book, The Art of Forgiveness. I want to just pull out three quick points that'll help us become better at being quick to forgive like Jesus forgives us. And here's the first thing is this. The first tip is this. So rediscover the humanity in the person you need to forgive. Rediscover the humanity in the person you need to forgive. And so we said this a number of weeks back, that hurt people hurt people. Like if someone was cruel or mean or did something, the odds are they banged you up because they're probably pretty banged up inside. We live in this Genesis 3 world that's broken, and we're sinned against, and we sin, and it just creates kind of this deformed image of God inside of us that harms people. But if we'll understand people's humanity and their brokenness, it will tend to soften our hard heart of unforgiveness. Let me read for you another quote. Sorry, I got so many quotes for you this morning, but Henry Longfellow, he says this, and I feel like, I don't even know who Henry is, but I love this quote. He says, if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. Did you hear what he said? He says, if we were to look into the life and the heart of people that we're so unforgiving against, wow, we'd actually start to feel sorry for them and in their life, and it would soften our heart. You know, a number of years ago with one of my teams, there's a guy on my team who I just couldn't stand. Are we okay? Can I be honest enough to say that? Like, this guy just got on my nerves, and I so appreciated. We did an exercise on this particular team, and each man went around and he just said the most difficult thing they had to overcome in their life. And when I heard this individual's obstacle, like this hurdle that he had to overcome in his life, it broke my heart for him. And suddenly, this guy that used to aggravate for me, now I'm like his biggest champion. I just think this guy's amazing and just so proud of him. Why? Because I understand the obstacles that he had to overcome. And so maybe to begin to humanize people once again when they harm us, if we were to ask the question, man, I wonder what happened to them that would set them off to do that, right? So that's point number one, to rediscover people's humanity. Number two is this, to surrender your right to get even. This one's probably gonna hurt a little bit. We surrender our right to get even. Listen, if we're honest, when people sin against us, and listen, we want to hold a grudge, or we feel justified in lashing out to them, I got bad news for you if you're a Jesus follower. You have no right to lash out at other people. That we, when we received Jesus, we had to lay all that at the feet of the cross of Jesus Christ. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, all that garbage needs to go on to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so before we get into this, like giving up our opportunity to get even or surrendering it, let me just let you know what I'm not saying. That by forgiving people, I'm not saying what they did to you was okay. It wasn't okay. We're just saying we're choosing to forgive. We're not saying that you should immediately be reconciled with that individual. Not saying that at all. Sometimes it's not wise nor healthy to get around like dysfunctional and unhealthy people, but you can still choose to forgive. Here's what else we're not saying. We're not saying there's not consequences that that individual needs to experience despite the fact we've forgiven them in our heart. We good? All right, let me a quick illustration here of surrendering our right to get even. I thought this was such a cool story. I can't believe I'm late to the game to get this one, but I believe it was in 2018, Saturday Night Live. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the comedian Pete Davidson, and so he's a comedian on SNL. And then there's another guy in our story is this, a guy by the name of Dan Crenshaw. He's a congressman. He has only has one eye. He's a former Navy SEAL, was injured in Afghanistan and lost his eye. And so in one skit, Davidson, who doesn't line up politically with Crenshaw, he just began to make fun of Davidson and losing his right eye. And it was one of those things that just kind of crossed the line. And then what happened, the tidal wave of social media outrage over what Davidson had done, it just began to pile up upon him until just a slow, gradual depression began to get in, and Davidson was just overwhelmed, depressed, almost suicidal. In fact, on his Instagram feed, he sent this out. He said, "I really don't want to be on this earth anymore." Get this, Dan Crenshaw, the congressman with one eye, he saw that Instagram post. And what did he do? Come on, did he roll up his sleeves and just give it to Davidson? No, he didn't. Let me read to you what he wrote to Davidson. Dan Crenshaw, he wrote this. He says to Davidson, he says, "God put you here for a reason." He says, "It's your job to find out that purpose and then to go and live that way." Is that amazing? Like, he had his moment. He could have stuck it to Davidson, and yet he didn't do it. And in that moment, something happened in Davidson that ministered to him. Until suddenly, you fast forward, they actually did an SNL scene together where Davidson apologized to Crenshaw. And just in the, they made fun of each other and made some laughs, but it was funny. It was healthy. And it ministered to the hearts of people. But here's what I love. Then when Davidson and Crenshaw, when they thought they were off camera and their mics weren't hot, you could hear Davidson tell Crenshaw this. He says, "You're a good man." Isn't that amazing? See what happened? Because Crenshaw chose to surrender his right to get even, what happens? Unity, life, because love is going to attempt to do that. It forgives people, right? And so here's the third point. So remember, we want to humanize the individual that hurt us. We want to lay down our right to get even. And here's the third and final one is this. We choose to see people through the lens of Jesus Christ. So you know, Smead didn't exactly have those three points. The third point I adjust a little bit. Smead's is going to say we should revise our feelings towards that individual. But I would just say this. Feelings are a little bit hard to control, aren't they? Like, I can't tell you to feel a certain way. You can't tell yourself to feel a certain way. But what you can do is you can choose to treat people a certain way. And that's what we want to do. And so, remember in Colossians? See, Colossians, what did it say? It said to put on compassion, humility, to put on love. See, it's an act of our will. You can choose to put something on. It never said you need to feel compassion. You need to feel humility. You need to feel love. It didn't say that. It said, no, as an act of your will, you put on compassion. You put on love. So let me illustrate it this way. So a little trivia. Who was L. Frank Baum? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, he was the author of the classic novel, The Wizard of Oz. Do we remember that one? The Wizard of Oz. And L. Frank Baum, it was funny, as he was writing his novel, he couldn't figure out what to call the kingdom where Dorothy would live and they would follow the yellow brick road. What would be the name of the kingdom? And as he's struggling with the thought, he looks over and he sees a file cabinet. For those of you that are 30 and under, you'll have to Google what a file cabinet is, all right? Think Dropbox, but it's like here, okay? And so he looks over at the file cabinet, and on the file cabinet, it's listed a file that has the letters A through, what was it, A through G, and then there's another file, H through N, and then the third one was O through Z, or otherwise known as Oz, and that's how it became known as the Wizard of Oz, the Kingdom of Oz. Something else interesting, that the classic movie with Judy Garland, it was actually released in 1939. L. Frank Baum, he died actually in 1919, so the movie was actually created 20 years later. Here's why that's important. As they're filming The Wizard of Oz, the character, the man who played the character of the Great Oz, needed a suit jacket, something that was beat up enough and old, but you could tell at one time it was dignified, and so the wardrobe couldn't find anything. They went to a thrift store, local thrift store, and went through some, they found what they thought was the perfect blazer or suit coat for the Wizard of Oz. And here's what they would find out later. That when they looked into this suit coat picked up at a local thrift store, that embroidered into it was the name L. Frank Baum. That in fact, that was the author and the creator's old suit coat jacket. And what happened? So this guy, the Wizard of Oz, got to put on the jacket of the creator, of the author. And that's what you and I do, that we're called to put on Christ. We put on the author and the finisher of our faith. And now by an act of our will, not by our feelings, I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to be compassionate. I'm going to choose to be humble. And now we have the tools to be able to forgive people just like Jesus forgave us. And so let me do this. Hey, we still don't have power in the place, but let me give you the 3 points just to kind of recap. Remember this, that love, it honors people. We are going to treat people as valuable and precious. Number two, that love seeks to fill the cups of other people. Like, what a great way to start your day, that I'm going to fill the cup of other people where they might be lacking. And number three, love forgives. And let me sum up our time this morning by saying this. Listen, loving people can be unbelievably hard. It can feel impossible. And I just want to guarantee you this. It's going to cost you something. Like, to love people well and to honor God, there's going to have to be sacrifice. But I want to remind you why that sacrifice is so unbelievably worth it. And so last illustration before we pray is this. I don't know if you know this, but in San Antonio, they actually have a war memorial dedicated to service dogs, the dogs that have served us in the military. And people come from around the world to honor these dogs that have sacrificed on behalf of their country. I do want to note to a few of you cat people out there, they're not honoring cats, because there are no cats willing to give their life for our country. Just felt like I needed to make a note of that. I hope you remember the story of Luca. Luca was the military service dog that served over in Iraq and Afghanistan. That Luca's, her job was to sniff out IEDs, these explosives hidden under the ground. And Luca, she would go some 400 missions without losing one human life. That Luca would go before other people. She would go before the troops, and she would sniff out until, but unfortunately, at one point, she sniffed out an IED. But as she was signaling to the commanding officer that she had found something, she inadvertently detonated it, and it blew her leg off. She was immediately air-vacked and treated, and they thought she was going to die. But listen, not a spoiler alert, Luca made it. I believe we have a picture of her. And Luca would receive the Victoria Cross. It's an award given by the UK, and here's what it stands for: valor in the presence of an enemy. And so Luca was awarded the Victoria Cross, but I want to remind you of another cross, and this was one where a man 2,000 years ago, the God-man, Jesus Christ, he went before you and he went before me and he died on that cross and he absorbed the wrath of God's sin, of our sin on himself, that we might walk away free. And I want to offer you the gift of eternal life. If you do not know Jesus Christ this morning, I would love to pray with you. And if you would just repeat with me this simple prayer, or just say the word, amen. It means so be it. That's for me. That when we pray this together, you're actually receiving the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and asking him to come in and to be your Savior and your Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus as a Savior for me on behalf of my sin and my trespasses. And Father, I right now receive the sacrifice, Jesus's death, so that I might live. And now just pray, Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, and be my Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey, and we are going to be a people that love well. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.